We'd like to say that we're glad to have you here with us tonight. We're thankful for this meeting, and we just kind of throw this meeting together right quick. I wish that we had known a little sooner, but really have advertised the meeting and had a chance to done a little bit of work for God out here to really had a meeting here, and maybe we'll get to in this area. But we were only here for two or three nights, and it was a real quick thing. But we're glad to see the people that's out, and we'll be here two or three nights. Maybe the Lord will bless us here. We've had some wonderful meetings. I've never ministered in the state of Nevada. We've been through here. Our little two has come out here, and we've been on TV that has probably reached all out into here, satellite and whatever. But I've never ministered here. I ministered in Arizona and all around through and down the coast of California, Hollywood, and Los Angeles, and all around. But never in Nevada. It's a strange thing. Haven't gone through it a number of times. Felt to come into Sarah for a good little while, but never have been able to get out here for some reason. But tonight, we're here. And certainly a privilege to see you people that are here, and those have come to be with us, and some people from Georgia here with us, and some from California here with us. And I believe Chuck's mother, maybe sister and brother, is here with us. If that's right, I'd love to see you raise your hand back there. We're certainly glad to have them here with us. I know Chuck's glad to have them here with us. And maybe Bob, I thought I saw Bob and his wife back here. Bob's in the Navy out here in California. Is Bob back there? Yeah, Bob and his wife, we're certainly glad to have him. All right, we're glad to have you here. Let's give the Lord another hand, can you? Bible said, clap your hands, all you people, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know, that's the thing we like to do, is make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We come into the sanctuary to worship the Lord, to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I'd like to say that I praise the Lord for the use of this building. The man Bill has opened this building to us. It's a very nice building at a very prominent place, and he's been very kind to open this building to us. I've not had the privilege to meet Bill yet, but my son knows him, and I certainly appreciate him opening this place to us, that we could come in here and minister to the people in this area, the ones that's interested, and I hope we'll be able to do a little something for God here. If we just win one soul, it'll be worth everything. The Bible said the angels in heaven rejoice. They have a jubilee of the one soul coming to repentance rather than over 99 that needs no repentance. I guess you've already taken the offering. I usually don't deal with offerings at all. It's something I don't deal with, but here I had hoped Brother Taylor would remind the people that the offering is coming in. We're not going to take any of the offering that comes in here, whatever it is. I wanted the offering to come in and go to Bill for the building here. He has a tremendous load, I understand, in carrying the weight of this building as to what it cost him. And I would have liked so much for the people to have responded to help Bill out with this load, because it's quite a load. And Brother Taylor perhaps has already gone down this trail and talked to you about that. But in that he has been so kind to us and opened the building to us, I felt, Brother Taylor, that whatever come in should all together go to Bill. So in that I don't take offerings and I don't take personal offerings and I don't mess with the money end of it at all. But tonight I am going to say this, and I think my wife's out there somewhere. But I was going to mention this to her before I left home, but I thought maybe I better wait till I got here. But I thought we're going to be here about three nights, but I thought we'd just give Bill the offering as to whatever come here, and that maybe it might not bother Sister Betty if maybe we just give, during the two or three days that we're here, Brother Taylor, that we might, Betty and I might just give $1,000 to help in the offering while we're here. That's okay with Sister Betty, wherever she's at. She'll agree with us. And the others that want to help out, we'll certainly appreciate it. anything that you'd like to do to help, Bill, because I understand you have to work real hard to carry this load. All right, whatever you can do to keep a place open for God, to help things go, to win a soul, that's what's going to count, folks. I know it's kind of hard for us to get a hold of, but young and old alike, the only thing that counts is what you do for God. You know, you might obtain to a lot of wealth, a lot of riches in your lifetime. You might get to be a very famous, fabulous person, a great executive or a celebrity, a dignitary, whatever. Might become be a very, very important man like a Mr. Bush or others in the world today. You might become to be a billionaire. But out of all the things you do and all the importances of life, all of the great positions you hold, really, when you consider it all, it doesn't amount to anything. At the end of the trail, it doesn't amount to anything. They just put you in a hole and throw the dirt in your face. That's all. And all you did didn't amount to anything. Not a thing. You stand before God, and God doesn't even regard what you did. Doesn't even regard it at all. It just depends on what you did for God. And what you did is to helping the lost, the poor and the needy, as to salvation and those things that God has commanded. Even though I know that the things that are done through life, they're very important as to places that are held in life, places that are esteemed in life. And sometimes the Bible teaches that which is greatly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. But there are those things that are esteemed as to places of benefit as to humanity, and there are dignitaries and celebrities that are true dignitaries, and they do render a service to humanity, and they're very important through life. They play a role as to help God with his people during the time of their episode through life and through the transitions of life. They are very helpful billionaires, sometimes have great industries, and they feed hundreds and thousands of families and take care of them. And since feeding humanity is God's business, he blesses them with money so that they can have money to feed the families, because that's the responsibility of God. And when you do something to help others, God will help you. But on the other hand, when you narrow it right down as to what is the important thing, to be like Jesus and to do something for God, to live for God, to have your heart right with God, to make sure everything's right. That is to acknowledge God first, to seek the kingdom of God first, to go after the things of God first, to acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he'll direct your path. For all the ways of God are peace, and they that keep their minds stayed up in Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. And that's the main thing, is to follow God with all of your heart. The Bible said that if we'll acknowledge God, seek after God, he'll make us to ride upon the high places of the earth, feed us with the heritage of Jacob, his blessings will make us rich and add no sorrow. He'll give us the desires of our heart if we'll delight ourselves in him. His blessing will make us rich, the Bible teaches. It is the Lord our God that giveth us the power to get wealth. He will make our enemies to be at peace with us, make all of our beds in the time of our sickness. The Bible said whatever we do will prosper. Be like a tree that's planted by the waters. Our leaves will not wither. Our fruits will come forth. Everything will be blessed. So then, this is the main thing in life, folks, because every person must meet the judgment. Supposing a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. And in Corinthians, it says, every man shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ that he might give an account thereof unto God as to the things done in his body. And the Bible said, blessed are they that do the commandments of God, not that just hear, not being doers of the word, but the Bible said that do the commandments of God, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city, into that wonderful city of God. Considering the conditions of the world today, and especially over in the East, if you're a Bible scholar, if you're walking with God, if you know anything about spiritual things, then there's one thing that you understand at this particular time, and that is that's the end of the world. Of course, when I say that, you know, that may go over your head, a lot of you said, but knowing God and understanding God and his ways and following God, I know for sure that that's the end of the world. And we bring it out to some people back home. We've got some things on tape there. And we as an individual, as a minister, we believe in the deep, deep, deep mysteries and revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas Jesus one time, preaching to the people, his disciples asked him a question. And the question was, said, why do you speak to these people in parables, seeing that they understand not what you say? And Jesus said, it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Said unto you, it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And unto the church, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. To the world, you just preach the gospel to the people of the world, because it's not given unto them to know the mysteries, because they're not going to be translated into that great, wonderful world of eternal life. And all they get is the preaching of the gospel, that they may be guilty before God in the day of judgment as to repentance, and that they do not receive eternal life. But the church has a great, wonderful thing coming. It is given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And the Bible tells us because of this that we should pray that God would grant unto us the spirit of revelation. And Paul said, I am a steward of the mysteries of the things of God. In Revelation 10 and 7, and it says at the sounding of that last trump, the mystery of God should be finished. So then I love the deep mysteries of God, and we preach many deep mysteries in our lifetime. Out on the field, we just deal with simple things like faith and repentance, because people don't understand the deep mysteries of God unless you can get two people that are already walking with Christ and that love the Lord, that study the Word of God, that pray and seek the Lord. And then, of course, many times you find people that can get into the mysteries of Christ. So then we're here tonight to talk to you about the love of God and the wonderful things of God, and try to encourage your faith in God. Faith is that wonderful key that you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your household, that you may be saved, because the end is nearby. All right, so we love the Lord. You love the Lord, I love the Lord, and we're here to speak to you a little bit. I just thought I'd say a few four words here, and I brought my Bible in. Let me get my Bible here. I was just looking. There's a few more families that was to be here tonight that I knew of. And they're not here, but I understand they'll be here tomorrow night. All right. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Mark, the 11th chapter. I read this verse every once in a while. Now, since we know that we're human beings and that all human beings die, young or old, we die. All of our plans are to live, but believe it or not, we die. And unless we could get to God, then no matter what we do, we die. This great, fabulous Las Vegas, you come in on the plane and you look, especially at night, we came in here. As we do the cities around the world, we've been privileged to preach around the world, hold crusades around the different parts of the world. Coming in here, like many other cities, I looked and it's fabulous. You know, it's lighted up everywhere. And you see the money, the wealth, the power, the people. And you think, my, what a tremendous thing. And yet you know that everybody here is going to die. The generations before them died. These are going to die. And if any followers, they're going to die. And then as a great calamity, everything's going to crumble. John said, and I saw all the nations of the world crumble to the ground. The great skyscrapers like New York, London, all these places. He said, and I saw all of the cities of the world with their great skyscrapers, and they crumbled to the ground as the great earthquake struck. And the whole world is going to crumble to the ground. So then we know that everybody's going to die. And just about the whole world is sick already. And the hospitals are literally filled up. The insane asylums are filled up. The prisons are filled up. Mental institutions are filled up everywhere you go. And the streets, everywhere you go along the streets, you know, problems are filled up with sick folks and halt and cripple and all kind of problems. And drug stores everywhere, just medicine. Everybody's on some kind of pill or some kind of medicine. And it's a terrible, terrible day that we're living in, folks. people that aren't dead and in the graves, half dead. And it's not too much life anymore. It's more of an existence than it is life. And a faith, if there ever was a time when people need faith in God, they really need faith in God. You know, I appreciate the fact that we can get healing from medicines to the extent that the Bible does speak of a day when there'll be no healing medicine, so medicines do bring healing to that extent. And the Bible said that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And it does say the sick need a physician. But, and it speaks of pouring the oil and wine in the wound, you know. But the Bible does say there'll come a time when there will be no healing medicines, which means that healing is really not in the medicine, nor with the physician. During that tribulation period, when grace is lifted, and that God has given healing through grace, that we, before we come to God, we don't have faith. We as a people, you know, not having faith in God, we have to depend on medical knowledge or we have to depend on medicine or whatever it might be. So we look to this source, and God allows that to keep his people alive until he can teach them to really believe in God. And then the Bible speaks of that time when grace is lifted, that they won't have any healing medicines, that there won't even be any knowledge within humanity, even within the physicians, to know how to bring about medicine or to do anything for the people. And the Bible speaks of the Antichrist's kingdom being filled with darkness, which means intellectual ignorance, and they'll gnaw their tongue for pains. And it's going to be a horrible situation. So we really need to get faith in God. We need to build ourselves up in the Lord. And the Bible speaks of this being such a horrible, hideous time that he said, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. See, these things are coming on this very earth that we're living on. And it said, pray always that you might be accounted worthy before God, that you might be able to escape these things that's coming on the earth. And people right at this time, they're beginning to get serious about this thing. They've been through a lot of things, and they're beginning to get serious about things, and they're really wanting to know what's going on. So we really need to know about faith. We need to read the Word of God, because the Word of God is what brings us faith. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. You can't get faith any other way, folks. Now, you can believe, you know, but just mere believing is not faith. You know, you can believe that you're well when you're not well. You can believe you're going to heaven when you're going to hell. You can believe that you've been healed when you're still dying with a disease. Isn't that right? You can believe you're on the right road when you're traveling when you're on the wrong road. Isn't that right? You can believe everything's just right when it's all wrong. And you can believe somebody's telling you the truth when they're telling you a lie. So see, mere believing, that's not faith. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So then when you hear the Word of God and you believe the Word of God, then that is faith. So when you hear the Word of God and you believe the Word of God, then you know that you've got faith. Because if you believe the Word of God, then this wonderful Word of God, by believing, it is transformed into spirit and into power. The Bible said the Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. And it is just the power of God, period. It is the power of God, for he sent his word and healed them. And the Bible said, by God's word, he spoke the world into existence. And by God's word, he upholds all things. By God's word, he created us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. And we beheld it as the Son of God. So then, the Word of God is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, or it is healing. If you can believe the Word of God, it transformates into power. When you hear the Word of God and you believe the Word of God and you latch onto the Word of God and you don't doubt the Word of God and you don't stumble at the Word of God, you don't waver in the Word of God, then that Word of God begins to transformate into power. And the first news you know, it changes your body, it goes into your blood genetics, it goes into your heart, and it does something for you. Did you know that it went into the life of Moses and it actually renewed the youth of Moses? And the Bible said that Moses' eyes had not waxed dim in his old age, and that the natural sources of his body wasn't even abated. At the time that it looked like when God was to bury Moses, Did you know that they never did find his grave? And later you find Moses over here on the Mount of Transfiguration in glory with Elijah. And did you know that Abraham, when Abraham's body was considered dead and Sarah's body was considered dead, that by faith in God, that God renewed their bodies and brought their youth back to them? And do you realize that Enoch, walking with God, the Bible said all of a sudden Enoch was not, for God took him. Enoch kept walking with God until he bypassed death. And the Bible said he was translated that he should not see death. Not see death. Somebody said, well, he'll have to come back and die, Brother Pike. If he does, the scriptures will be broken, because the Bible said he was translated that he should not see death. See, Enoch, as I say, a lot of times was not under the law. So he doesn't have to come back and see death. Moses and Elijah will come back. And the Bible speaks of that, because they were under the law, but not Enoch. So we have the power as the church. Since we're not under the law, we're like Enoch. We have the power to believe God's word. And as Paul said, come to a place to where we don't even have to see death. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die or sleep, but we'll all be changed. That is, we can come to the place to where we can believe the word of God, not only to be healed, but we can believe the word of God to where we can bypass the coughing. We can bypass death. And all of us together, collectively speaking, the Bible said in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, can be changed from mortality to immortality, from this terrestrial to the celestial, from this corruptible to the incorruptible. And the Bible teaches that we can be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and caught away to be with God and never go by the way of the grave. That's Bible. See, faith in the word. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. All right, let's read here in Mark 11:22. So then, it says here in Mark 11:22, it said, and Jesus answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Notice now, he tells them here in this, he said, now, if you can have faith in God. Notice now, it said, if you can have faith in God. Having faith in God. And what is God? God is the Word. Remember, in the beginning was the Word. The Word is God. The same yesterday, today, and forever. The same to a thousand generations. He said, now, if you can have faith in God, he said, say what you will. Think about that, folks. Think what a challenge that is to you and I. He said, say what you will, and it'll be done unto you. You say what you will, and it'll be done unto you. If you can believe in your heart, don't doubt. He said, ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now, you can't ask and have what you ask for if you're going to waver. But he said, if you can ask in faith, nothing wavering, he said, say what you will, don't doubt, and he said, you can have whatever you say. Whatever you say. Have you ever said anything and saw it come to pass? Did you know that in my lifetime, I have said many things that was utterly impossible, but I said them. I said, Lord, you said in your word that if I believed, if I said it, it would come to pass. And I've said numbers of times things that I couldn't possibly do. There was no way that I could do it. But I thought, Lord, this is utterly impossible. But I'm not going to reason about it, because if I reason, I know I can't do it. If I reason, I know there's no way that I can obtain unto it, and there's nobody can help me do it, because I'm out of reach of it. But because you said it in your word, I'm going to believe it, and I'm not going to reason about it. I'm not going to try to figure out how to do it. But because you said it in your word, I'm just going to accept the fact that that's the way it is. And I'm just going to do like Abraham. The Bible said, and Abraham was strong in faith, and he went about giving glory unto God, thanking God, because God said it. He said, that's the way it's going to be. And he just went about giving glory unto God and praising God for this wonderful thing. And all of a sudden, it came to pass. I feel the Holy Ghost talking about it. I feel faith talking about it. Somebody believes what I said, because I can feel it way up here. I can feel it way up here. And so then he just went about, the Bible said, he was strong in faith, giving glory unto God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And he just went about praising God, saying, hallelujah. Lord, you said it. That's the way it's going to be. That's the way it's going to be. You know, the Bible said, the Lord Jesus is the high priest of our confession. And when we confess something, we really confess it from our heart, from the heart, the mouth speak it. And when we really confess it from our heart, then the Lord Jesus is the high priest of our confession. And if we confess it and we believe it and hold to it, it's got to happen. I know, you know, the devil makes that sound so far-fetched. He says, that's too simple. That could never happen. Something great could never happen just because you said it. You're a human being. But nevertheless, the Bible said, without respect to person, that if you say it, he said, whosoever. Isn't that right? Like the songwriter said, whosoever surely meaneth me. And he said, whosoever shall say in his heart whatever he wants to say. And if he don't doubt it, it said, and it'll come to pass. All he's got to do is just say it. Don't doubt it. Just believe what he says. And don't waver. And what he says will come to pass. And I've done it many times. You know, I'd go to do something outstanding, whether it was to pray for somebody or see somebody heal or whatever. Or I have had financial miracles. I'd want to buy something. And I'd say, Lord, now I got to have this thing over here. And it's just going to cost so much money, there ain't no way I can get it, you know. But you're going to have to help me. And I think, Lord, I don't know how to do it. But I'm going to pray, and you're going to help me. And I said, now, Lord, I got to have $1,000 over here. And, Lord, you got to help me because I don't have the $1,000. And I saw him do it. And then I'd say, Lord, now I got to have $10,000. And you got to help me. And then I'd seen him do it. And I said, Lord, I got to have $50,000. And I say, now, Lord, you're going to do it. And I said, Lord, I got to have $100,000. And I said, Lord, you're going to do it. And I see him do it. And I go above $100,000. I said, Lord, and I got to have it. And you're going to do it. And I see him do it. And again and again and again by faith. And God hath never failed me yet. It didn't make any difference what I went after, what I wanted. I just said, Lord, that's the way that it's going to be. That's the way it's going to be. It's like a few days ago, Betty came and told me, said, George, she said, they want you to pray about something. Said, there's a man over here in school. Said, he's got some children hostage. Said, he's holding them at the point of a gun. And said, it's dangerous for the children. And they said, they want you to pray about it. I went into my room and immediately prayed. I prayed before God. As I prayed before God, it took a few minutes. But after a few minutes, I felt the Lord answer me. I said, there it goes. I felt it. I said, now, Lord, what he's going to do? I said, I felt that you broke that. I prayed and I said, now, Satan, you unclean spirit, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to turn that man loose and he's just going to lay that gun down. And he's going to wonder what he's doing there. And all of a sudden, I come back. I said, well, Betty, I got the victory over it. I said, it's okay. And in a little while, they called and said, you know, said all of a sudden, that man just laid that gun down and turned him kids loose. Let's give the Lord a hand. That's the way it works, folks. That's the way it works. So then, the Lord does that. We've heard of people having cancer, you know, or a dreadful disease. Go to the doctor, and they have cancer. They'd send word for prayer already, gone through the scopes, and the x-rays would show cancer. But the people of God begin to pray, and we'd begin to pray. And all of a sudden, then the report would come back. They'd go back for another x-ray, and they'd find out no cancer. The cancer was all gone. See, because we prayed and believed God. And that's the way it works. See, the Lord wants to do it. That's the first thing that we need to remember is Jesus said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. He wants us to have faith in God. You know, the devil tries to convince us that God doesn't want us to have these things. That God don't want us to have blessings and prosperity. You know, get a little prosperity and the devil tries to scare us to death and tries to make us think that because we've got a little prosperity that God just hates us. But folks, that isn't right. He said, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. See, God's got that threefold prosperity for us. Number one, he wants us to prosper. He wants us to prosper naturally. See, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So then if I'm going to have prosperity, that is to say, as to homes, as to automobiles, as to land, or whatever is necessitated through life, as to that which life demands, I would that you have those natural things. I created the garden, and I gave them to Adam and Eve, and in the beginning, they had those necessitated things and were happy in the garden. I made those things for mankind. I didn't bring death and heartaches and sorrows and those kind of things. Those things didn't come by me. They come by man. Death is my enemy, God said. I didn't kill man. I didn't bring death upon man. He told Eve and Adam, he said, the day that thou eatest of that tree of knowledge and you start doing your own thinking and leaning to your own understanding and not listening to the word of God and not believing what I told you, he said, that's the day that you're going to die. He said, but if you won't lean to your own understanding and trust in the word of the Lord with all of your heart, this is spirit and this is life. This is words of life. He said, and you can live if you listen to my word. And sure enough, when they begin to believe in that old tree of knowledge, they begin to die. And all their children have been dying ever since. And Jesus has tried his best to switch them back over to that word of life. Isn't that right? And here we are today trying to do the same thing. Death is the enemy of God. And God didn't bring death. And so then God wants us to have that wonderful prosperity of life that we can have those things that's necessitated to life. That's God's way. And then when he gives us those things, number two, he wants you to have health. He said, I would that you have health. He doesn't want you to be sick, all these things of sickness you're going through. God doesn't want you to be like that. You know, the devil said, well, you've got to be sick now so you can glorify God. And you want to do all these things so you can keep glorifying God, you know. The more sick you are, the more you glorify God, the better be for God. You know, but folks, God doesn't want that. God doesn't want that. He didn't put that upon the apostles so they could glorify. He didn't put that upon Adam and Eve so they could glorify. That wasn't upon Abraham and Daniel and the others so they could glorify. That wasn't it. It's true that if you are plagued with sickness, it's true that if you make contact with these things, or if the devil overtakes you in these things, or whatever it might be, if you can stand up by faith and give a testimony, God does get glory out of that, like in the days of Job. But see, Job's testimony was that though the skin worms devour my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. See, Job stood up like that. He said, God will deliver me. That's the testimony of Jesus. See, God will deliver me. That's what God wants. He wants a testimony. God will deliver me. And he wants us to stand up by faith in God. Isn't that right? Somebody say hallelujah. You know what? It's like I told somebody today. Just because they've got automobiles and I can ride down the street in an automobile, I'm not going to say cut my legs off. I ain't going to walk no more because they got automobiles. Isn't that right? So I said, what are you talking about? I'm not going to tell somebody that I'm going to do away with my faith just because I got medicine. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep my faith in God. They can have all the medicine they want to. I'm going to keep my faith in God. So I believe in God. I believe in health. I believe in health. I believe in prosperity. And so then God wants me to have health. Why does he want me to have health? So I can enjoy my prosperity. But then there's another thing that God wants, and that's soul security. God wants me to have soul security. And folks, this is where we let down. See, he wants me to have soul security because if I have natural prosperity and if I have physical prosperity as to health and I don't have any spiritual prosperity, then that means the devil can take everything I've got. But if I've got natural prosperity and I've got physical prosperity to enjoy it, and then I've got a spiritual prosperity to secure all of these things throughout eternity, then the devil can't touch it. And that's what God wants. God is trying to bring the spiritual end up so that we can have all of these other things. By leaving off with the spiritual side of it, we have let our natural prosperity get into the hands of the devil, and we've let our physical being get into the hands of the devil, and the devil has literally had himself a field day. Did you know that? How do you know that the devil savors the things that be of the flesh? Because he's a spirit, and he wants to get into the human body. And how many of you here that knows that the dispute is over the body? Look into the Bible. You'll find that the dispute between God and the devil is over the body because God is a spirit. And God made the body so that he could dwell in the body and manifest himself as life and radiance and health in the body and live in this world that God could inspire and that you could have life. But the devil also wants to get into the body so that he can have the body. The devil doesn't understand why the body withers up and dies just because he gets into it. But yet the curse is upon it because when the devil gets into it, God can't get to it and God is the only source of life. Isn't that right? So the devil is forever trying to perfect something through medical cure to try to keep the generations alive and yet not go after God. Isn't that right? Folks, let me tell you. It's all right to do all you can medically. It's all right to do all you can as far as helping yourself. But you better remember that God is the one. And without God, there'll be no healing medicine. And without God, there'll be no lasting blessings. And we need to get back to God as a nation and as a world. And we need to get back to God and get back to spiritual prosperity, that God may correct this thing and get us out from under the curse. He's taken us out from under the curse by the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And we need to get out from under the curse to where we can have our health back and have our natural prosperity back and boot the devil out of this thing and get him out of this thing. I don't like him. I don't like him. Let's get him out of this thing and let's give the glory to God and everything will be all right. Did you know that? Everything will be all right. If we'll get him out of this thing, everything will be all right. But if we don't get him out of this thing, ain't nothing going to be right. You know, I see the people a lot of times, they criticize the youth. And of course, seeing the youth all over the world, it's the same everywhere I go. But they criticize the youth. And I'll tell you, the youth is in a mess. All of us know that. But they criticize the youth. And I think that's true. They're in a terrible mess everywhere I go. I was over in the Carolinas not too long ago having a tent meeting there. And it was a horrible situation out there just as we ended the tent meeting, started down the street right there where the youth was gathered. Somebody in an automobile just run right over one of the girls there. One of the young boys did. And we ran out there to where the girl was. But you know, the Bible says that the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are on edges. So really the problem with the youth is the parents. Let's give the Lord a hand. That's where the problem is. So what we need to do is get the parents straightened out. If we get the parents straightened out, the children would be all right. I'm not going to preach much to you tonight. I'm just exhorting you a little bit on faith. But I tell you what, folks, if I had time to preach to you just a little bit tonight, I could tell you some problems with the parents, and then you'd know the trouble with the children. Let's everybody stand together. I'm not going to keep you long tonight. Just these few things that I want to say. It's my pleasure to be here tonight and exhort you concerning faith and to acquaint you with a few things as what we understand of God and His blessings and what He'd like to do for you. And indeed, He'd like to bless you. He'd like to have you to be filled with the glory of God. The Bible said God has called us unto virtue and glory. And folks, there's no glory where there's no virtue. If we don't have virtue, we're not going to have any glory. But when we get filled with virtue, then we're going to have that wonderful glory. The Bible speaks of being changed from glory to glory. And this wonderful glory of God, Jesus appeared on the mount, and there He appeared in glory, and His raiment glistened as the light. And this beautiful glory of God, for the Bible said, Father, glorify these with the same glory I had with thee before the world ever was. This wonderful glory of God, we can have it. It's given to us, but we're going to have the right mind to receive it. Satan would like to get to that tree of life, but he can't get to it. He's cut off from it. And as long as we give place to Satan, then we're cut off from it. It was said concerning Adam and Eve, now man has become as one of us to know good and evil, lest he put forth his hand to the tree of life and live forever, and he was cut off. And it is said, blessed are they that do the commandments of God, that they may have right to the tree of life. That they may have right to the tree of life. So then we want to have right to the tree of life and to be able to enter in through the gates into that lovely city. But the Bible says, he that regardeth iniquity in his heart, God will not hear him. God will not hear him. I know, you know, we say, well, God heareth me. When I pray, Brother Pike, God hears my prayers. But folks, this might be a little shocking to some of you. But the Bible teaches that God will not hear the prayer of the wicked. The prayer of the wicked is an abomination in the sight of God. And it says the offering of the wicked. I know evangelists solicit offerings, you know, they don't care whether you're wicked or whether you're righteous as long as they get you offering. Some of them's like that. But the Bible said the offering of the wicked is an abomination in the sight of God. So then, he says concerning the wicked, It's not my will that the wicked should perish, in that they should repent and come to God and have everlasting life. But he said, I am angry with the wicked every day. And I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. So then we don't want to regard iniquity in our heart, because we want God to hear our prayers. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Let's sing this chorus. I love him. Can you sing with me? I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Once again, sing with us now. I love you. Loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Sing this little chorus quite a bit back home. And while we're singing this, not a whole lot of room to stand around here, but it might be somebody would like to step out and come up around the altar here or get a little close in to where we can offer prayer for you tonight. We like to pray for people, and through this, a lot of times we have people healed and delivered. God gives us some wonderful blessings. Wonderful things happen. He heals, saves, delivers. A lot of people delivered from evil spirits, unclean spirits. The Bible said by his word, he cast out the unclean spirits. All right. While we sing this little chorus, it's called Room at the Cross. Can we sing this together? All right, let's sing together. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing that with me now? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sing it with me now. Oh, there's room at the cross. While Brother Taylor's singing, remember, the time is getting closer and closer. The Middle East crisis tells us that the end of the world is close at hand. I wish that I had time just to expound a little bit concerning some things that we brought out a few days ago concerning the Middle East crisis, as to positively prove and detailing some things that it is the end of the world, that it really is the end of the world. And folks, you know, we speak of the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. We brought it out the other night, going back into history and going back into the book of Daniel, and we tied it into with the book of Revelation to bring out, to show that Middle East crisis has to do with this thing. And remember that the boycotting of nations will bring that in as a new world order. We had spoke of it before. Mr. Bush had even said anything about it. And it's coming to pass. And that with the boycotting that will bring in that gathering. gathering around Jerusalem, because all of that's against Israel. You'll see. It'll come to pass. We'd made the statement we'll be against Israel. And we'd all come together. See, before anything can happen to Israel, the church has to get out of here. So that means that if it's that close to that happening to Israel, then something is right at hand. Something's right at hand at the church. So you really need to press in. You really need to press in. You know, it's like Mr. Bush said a few days ago. He made the statement, it's wonderful. And I agree with him, because I think Mr. Bush is a great man. The Lord spoke to me before he went into office and said, I'm going to put him in office. Said, he's my man for the hour. And I made the statement. I said, he'll go in office because he's the man for the hour. And he really is. And God has really blessed him. But the thing is, speaking spiritually now, speaking of God and God's people, that's a different situation altogether. You know, not politically, Dan. That's altogether different from Mr. Bush. But that's speaking of presidency there. But Mr. Bush said some things, and this was concerning the nations uniting. And he said, it's so wonderful seeing all the people come together, the Arabs coming together, the Christians, the different nationalities coming together. And it seemed so wonderful, all of them coming together. And that's true, because it appears to be peace. Whereas the Bible says they'll cry peace and then sudden destruction. Because there's no peace to the wicked. There's no peace to the wicked. See, but the thing is, it's like I told my wife, if this is true, if this is true, that this great peace is prevailing, and all of a sudden all of these things is coming together, and this is the peace, and all of the nations are together. I said, tell me something, Betty. I said, why is it that Israel is left out of it? I said, the Bible said Israel will be the head of the nation. I said, come the millennium, I said, they're to be the head of the nation. I said, how is it all the nations are coming together except Israel? I said, God is supposed to bring Israel in as the head of the nation. If all of this is the coming together of God's move, and not the Antichrist, I said, then where is Israel at in it? They warned Israel to stay out of it. See, something's going on, folks, and it's not at all like it looks. It's wonderful, all right, to see people coming together, but it's not like it looks. Everything's close at hand as to the destruction. Why did we do this? While we're taking a few minutes here, why don't all of us come down? Wouldn't all of you like to come? The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Just let all of us come down. After all, the nations are over there. All of our soldiers are gathered in from every nation. Why not all of us come down? Sometimes we say, well, Brother Pike, I'm not of this denomination, or I'm not of this faith. But what difference does it make? Over there they got Germans and Japanese and everything else over there. My lands look like on the home front all of us could get together. With our little differences here, and at least come together for God's sake. At least all of us believe in God. All right, so let's just all of us come down here. While we take just a few minutes, for Christ's sake, pray together and worship together. Appreciate your wonderful response, your kindness tonight. We love you and we're here for your good tonight. Appreciate your reverence. By this moment, let's just all close our eyes together while we gather around just for a few minutes while Brother Taylor's singing.
Oh, reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
Oh, and while you've got your hands lifted up and your eyes closed, we're here to do what we can to pray for you and believe God. And during these 2 or 3 days that we're here, we're going to be earnestly praying and seeking God, because that's the way we believe it. And we believe in doing the thing that's right, clean, and holy in the sight of God. Because if we regard iniquity in our heart, God isn't going to hear us. And we want God to hear us on the behalf of Nevada and Las Vegas and the people here. And the people that are coming out of California, wherever. So we want you to pray with us. And we want you to believe with us. And while we pray, let's everybody just lift our hands, close our eyes together. Father of heaven, as we pray together, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I ask you to stretch forth your healing hand to heal tonight in Jesus' name.
and touch tonight. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord rebuke thee, Satan, in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke thee, in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless this mother, in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Father, bless this brother, in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. May thy blessings be upon him as I feel faith tonight, in your wonderful name, Jesus. May your blessings be here tonight. Bless this brother in the name of Jesus. Father, as I feel faith here tonight, heal and save and forgive and deliver and anoint for thy work. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The wonderful name of Jesus. May thy blessings be here. May the power of God be here. Lord, may it move, and faith, may it live in these hearts. Father, to ask what they will, to do what they will. In the wonderful name of Jesus, rebuke every power, Lord, that would hinder the salvation of these souls and the faith. In Jesus' name, help us to go on to perfection in the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, to heal, to save, to deliver, to grant it in the name of Jesus. Because of Jesus, in Jesus' wonderful name tonight, I ask you to do it, Lord. Father, bless this little one tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. May thy blessings be upon him. Father, may the great hand of God be upon these people. Oh, God, as I feel the mighty Holy Ghost tonight, move by your great Spirit tonight and bless in Jesus' name. Bless Bob tonight, Father, for coming all the way over here. Father, touch him, strengthen him, make him a great light, make his little wife and his little children a great light. Father, to do something for thee in the wonderful name of Jesus. God, stretch out thy hand tonight to these people to heal and to save and to deliver. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I ask you to do it. The wonderful name of Jesus tonight, Father, heal these people, touch these people, save these people and deliver these people. Give faith here tonight. Grant faith here tonight. Grant it tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just close our eyes and lift our hands up, folks. I feel faith tonight. Father, bless this sister tonight. May the hand of God be upon her tonight. And Father, this faith I feel tonight, this spirit I feel tonight, God, this power of deliverance I feel here tonight. Father, grant your blessings tonight. Grant it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands up tonight. Love the Lord. Can you praise God? Do you mind praising God right out loud? The Bible said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Isn't that right? And the Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. You ever hear a trumpet sound out? Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Make a loud noise unto the Lord. Lift up your voice and praise the Lord tonight, can you? Let's just praise God tonight. Let's give God praise. The Bible teaches that God is a spirit. He inhabits the praise of his people. And if we welcome God tonight and we praise God tonight, God will come down in our midst and he'll entice people. And we can really do something for God here. Let's just praise God tonight, can we? Let's just join together tonight and praise God. Fathers, we join together with my brother tonight. Lord, joining in faith tonight, asking you to heal and save and deliver, Father, by your mighty power. May the great, wonderful Spirit of God be in this building, Father, and here in Las Vegas to move in a mighty great way, Father, to heal and save and deliver. Oh, God, as I feel your power and your anointing here tonight, Lord, I feel the freedom, Lord, the yoke broken, Father, that there might be a great, wonderful revival, Father, to move throughout Las Vegas in Jesus' name, the wonderful, wonderful name of Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. 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 Lift your hands up and let's praise him, can you? Lift your hands up and let's praise him. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus. Give me a key, Frank. And I will praise him. I will praise. Can you sing it with me? Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give him glory Again now, lift your hands up, close your eyes. I will praise Him. I will praise Him.
Are you Bill? Praise.
Is that Bill?
Are you Bill?
Can you come up here, Bill? Can you come up here? Are you the brother that owns the building here or has control of the building?
And I'll give
him
glory, all ye people, for his blood
has washed
away every stain.
All right, let's try one more time, folks.
I will pray. I
can you sing that out with me? Come on, folks. Let's praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lamb. Sing it out if you're really praising God tonight. If you really mean it from your heart tonight, praise the Lord. Come on now.
And we'll give Him glory, all ye people.
For His blood has washed away. Once again, we're going to sing it again. Can you close your eyes and lift your hands up and really praise Him now from your heart?
I will praise Him.
Can you really praise Him now?
I will praise Him.